Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, whatever your insurance need may be, bundles. They will do whatever they can to make sure that you are completely covered. And they will do whatever they can to make sure that you get the right price. And they'll always update it. And if there's ever a problem, they will go to work as if it happened to them. That is Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Great people who are great professionals. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Seth Greenberg in a few moments on the ESPN Top 64 of all time in college basketball. But first, our play-by-play call of the day. We go back into the archives. Simone Gagné and the Philadelphia Flyers against the Bruins.
Kyle at the point, 26 seconds on the power play. Now it's Gagné. Gagné for Leno. Leno to Richards. Richards a shot redirected. Gagné shot. He scores! Simone Gagné! Can you believe it? Power play goal, and the Flyers all the way back now lead this thing 4-3.
I can believe it. I was 10 years ago. All right, so I can believe it.
It happened.
It happened. That's our play-by-play call of the day. Ryan Snyder, final half hour, look at Penn State football recruiting. Kenny Albert on the show tomorrow. And ESPN is doing their top 64 college basketball tournament when it comes to individuals. And with that, we bring in Seth Greenberg. Seth, we hope you and yours are doing very well. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Same to you. And we're hanging in there. I got my youngest daughter, who's actually about to graduate law school at Syracuse, taking her last few weeks online, and now my other daughter's in D.C. doing well, so we're hanging in there. It's obviously uncharted waters.
It sure is. Well, at least a chance to do something fun, and that's this top 64 bracket that was put together. I found it fun last night when everyone was looking, saying, well, why is that guy seated there or why is she seated there? So that was fun. I want to start with a guy that didn't play in the NCAA tournament. That's Pete Maravich, who was a 13th seed. What were your thoughts on that?
If you were watching the show, you know I said that was unacceptable. I had a pair of those gray floppy socks. Are you kidding me? Pistol Pete, he dropping dimes around the neck passes, through the legs, behind the back. I mean, it wasn't even a three-point line and the dude averaged 44 points a game. He would average about 59 if it had the three-point line. I mean, he was a genetic freak. Unacceptable.
Yeah, it was. 13 is unacceptable for a guy averaging 44 a game. You're right, no three-point line. Here's what I found interesting. There's certainly awesome players who had awesome people around them, like even Ferdinand Lewis Alcindor Jr., for goodness sakes. I looked at the guys as Steph Curry, somebody like Larry Bird, right, along the way, that weren't surrounded by the greatest cast yet brought their teams to great places. How did you look at those players?
Yeah, Magic Johnson. When I looked at Magic Johnson, if you think about, he had Greg Kelser, and that's it. Magic Johnson. See, I looked at Magic Johnson differently, just kind of in the same vein, is that he was the first positionless player.
Yeah.
We talk about positionless players right now. I mean, Magic Johnson was the first positionless player. He was a 6'9 point guard that could post a pass and rebound. I looked at Jerry West the same way. I mean, Jerry West, they got the championship game. I mean, he played with Hot Rod Humley, I think, or Rod Thorne.
Yep.
I mean, like, he was the first basically quote unquote two way player. So, yeah, I mean, you had to look at those things. That's why I didn't advance Leitner as far as people advanced him, because I mean, Leitner, think about who Leitner played with.
Oh, my goodness.
He played with Danny Ferry.
Yep.
He played with Bobby Hurley and Grant Hill. They were both in the bracket.
Right.
So, I looked at that a little bit differently than maybe I would have looked at it, if it was someone else. So, I tried to take that into consideration. And then, I looked at people that changed the game, like Cheryl Merle changed women's basketball.
No doubt.
She just did. She's the most dynamic women's player. And the first dynamic women's player that we went, whoa. Wait a second, here's something special happening here. So I looked at those type of guys, and then I went to the honor, the history of the game. My dad played for the Great Clare B, so I have a good feeling. I grew up with the game, and I have a good understanding of the history of the game. So, look, it's there's no wrong answers. It's all, the prism you look through it, but it was a fun exercise.
No, it is a fun exercise, and that's why we're talking about it. I thought Rebecca Lobo made a really good point about Diana Taurasi, that she was surrounded by awesome players during the first two championships she was involved in. And she went to the championship game her freshman year as well. But her senior year, no. You see, that's where I came to the point about Curry and Bird. If you're saying that about Diana Taurasi, you got to say it about other players that, Carl Nix? Really? Carl Nix is your supporting cast at Indiana State. What about looking at somebody like Bill Russell versus somebody that is more recent than Doug McDermott?
Bill Russell, come on now. He won 55 in a row. I mean, he thought another guy that changed the game. Won two national championships. Was most outstanding player. Doug McDermott was a bucket getter. I mean, he was good. There are other guys like Doug McDermott. To me, Bill Russell was different. Bill Walton went 21 for 22 in the national championship game.
I know,
game.
I remember.
I mean, that's different. They changed the rules for Lou Alcindor, now known as Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, didn't allow you to dunk.
Yeah.
I mean, those are the guys that jumped out at me.
Yeah, no, that jumped out at me as well. How was it for you in terms of looking at a great women's player, Maya Moore, Diana Taurasi, Cheryl Miller? I actually did a Cheryl Miller game once many, many years ago, obviously. How is it for you to look at that? Or somebody like even Nancy Lieberman?
Yeah, I mean, I remember Nancy Lieberman's game. But, Diana Taurasi, she was phenomenal. I remember watching her. Obviously, I've seen her play, or Brianna Stewart. I had an appreciation. I'm a basketball junkie. The hardest thing is when you're comparing the women players is that the landscape of women's basketball in relation to the generation they played in, number one, and to me, in relation to the field. So when you're comparing the best women's players in relation to the field, there weren't as many great women's players that they would be competing against as opposed to some of the great generations of men's college players. So that was the hardest thing to do in that relationship.
I've got to bring up a name that if you're a younger person, you wouldn't know this, but you and I understand this. David Thompson.
I watched that game against Maryland, man. Let me tell you something. I was with my buddies downstairs in our basement on a black and white TV watching David Thompson against Maryland. It was one of the greatest games in the history of the ACC. Absolutely incredible, incredible game. David Thompson was Michael Jordan before Michael Jordan.
No question. I remember him in the NCAA tournament against Pitt having a game. Then he went up and he went so high up, and then he came down and hit his head. I was like, you got to be kidding me. Here's another name from the past. Well, I actually broadcast his first college game, Lenny Bias. Refresh the world of Lenny Bias in college, because obviously we never got to see a second of him in the pros.
Yeah, I coached against Lenny Bias. I was an assistant at Virginia, and what I said on the show was Lenny Bias was harder to game plan for than Michael Jordan. Yeah. I mean, think about that. Lenny Bias, Michael Jordan, obviously, I joke around him, but everyone jokes about, the only guy that could guard Michael Jordan was Dean Smith. But Lenny Bias could beat you in so many ways. He could beat you running the floor. He could beat you getting to the offensive glass. He could overpower you. He could catch it at the elbow and score it. And Lenny Bias was absolutely a phenomenal, phenomenal player, talent, competitor. He was really special.
Which player was it for you that you looked at and said, you know what, it's fun for me to reminisce about this player? And then which one gave you the shakes? Would it be Larry Johnson at UNLV?
Yeah, well, I had a coach against him.
I know you did.
you know, The one that reminisces Pistol Pete. I mean, 44 yeah. points a game. I had the floppy socks. I wore my hair the same way. I mean, people understand 44 points a game. We got the 3-point shot. Come on, give me a break.
Yeah.
Grandmama was he was a bad man. He was a bad man. I mean, it was. I coached against a lot of guys in this bracket. I mean, I coached against Jordan. I coached against JJ. Didn't coach against Grant Hill, obviously, but Larry Johnson, that team. I told the story my first year as a head coach. I had our college president sitting on the bench for the game against UNLV in the first half, and when next time we're down about 50, so I go in the locker room. I come back. I figure, he's not going to leave me now. He's not going to be Benedict Arnold. I come back out for the second half, and he's nowhere to be seen. I thought I was fired at halftime. So that was probably one of the worst moves I ever made as a head coach.
I got one last one because I know I have to let you go, but it's Wilt Chamberlain, which is fine. We don't have to really get into Chamberlain. But we just watched Sabrina Ionescu play. I mean, when you watched her play the last couple of years, what did you see from her as a women's player moving forward and how she can influence the women's game moving forward?
She had a little Magic Johnson there.
Yeah.
I mean, her vision, her feel, the way she was inclusive, her passing. What she was able to do in a lot of different ways. The thing I was most impressed with was her passing. I mean, she could throw a pocket pass better than any player in the country off the ball screen. She could throw a no-look pass as good as any player in the country. So, to me, her passing was incredible.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. This is what Governor Wolf does not understand. Jack Ham, Ron Moeller, and whether it's Mike McGinley or Mike Wagner, it doesn't matter which one. We already were practicing social distancing on the golf course. we're all over the place.
lesson for all Pennsylvanians in that.
Look, and we're not the only ones, okay?
No.
We know darn well we are the only ones. Just kidding. Because, Ron, I'll call Jack tomorrow, but this is bad for me. I know Jack's doing well, but I'm going to call him tomorrow.
Well, there's got to be a certain amount of cabin fever out there among the golfing community, to put it mildly.
Well, there's cabin fever for everybody.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
Everybody's in that. And today's not the greatest day weather-wise.
No.
You know, but it's interesting with this. If you look at the numbers, it looks like now half of the cases are in New York State.
Yeah, and Westchester County, New York City.
And one-third of them are in New York City,
yeah.
Total. Doesn't mean it's not everywhere, because obviously there are cases all over the place. I mean, you've Charles Barkley. Remember I told the story about the Angels were concerned about Charles Barkley because Barkley had gone to their camp and had spent a couple days at their spring training facility.
Right.
Well, it turns out they found out today Charles Barkley tested negative. So
that's a good thing.
Yeah, look, obviously anybody who's been sick with this, I mean, the people who have been sick with this have been knocked down with it. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, the ability to breathe has been awful.
It also affects sense of smell and taste, I've been reading online.
Well, yeah, Rudy Gobert says he's lost his sense of smell with this. But I think you're going to find that there'll be more people in this particular week will test positive, and they'll go, whoa. But remember, there's more testing. All right, so because there's more testing, there's a greater chance of more numbers. All right. At some point, we're going to level out. Now, I'm not saying that's this week or next week, but at some point, it's going to level out. And I wouldn't be leveling out sooner rather than later. That's why we're all doing all this. We're doing this so it levels out sooner rather than later. And then some decisions have to be made about, okay, getting back into some sort of semi-normal routine. I'm not going to be an expert on that.
Nope.
I'm barely an expert at doing this job.
Steve, you know, one of the most challenging jobs right now, and I say that in a lighthearted fashion, is like the program director at ESPN. What do you do? There's not a lot of other than going to the archives.
But this is what they've had. Yeah, they can't air live games. Yeah. Okay, that's true. But this is what they do have. The NFL, because of the free agency period, followed by the draft, which is still a month away, they have the ability to have content to talk about. I mean, just take today, right? Today, Stephen Gostkowski, okay, with the Patriots for 14 years. Today, the Patriots cut him. Okay. The Rams rebranded today. They unveiled new logos, colors. Nobody likes them. The Dick Pound story on the possibility that the IOC will postpone the Olympics. Well, the IOC says, well, that's not what we've done. But it doesn't mean the story's wrong, okay? But they say they'll take 4 weeks to review the effects. And here's the problem for Japan. Japan has now made the transition. Where now they're playing baseball again, like South Korea's, albeit at the moment in empty ballparks. But they've now made the transition. The problem is the rest of the world has not. The United States obviously has not. Europe has not. And so that's what, you know, and let's face it, the ability to train is at the moment out the door.
Well, yeah.
PJ Walker, the former XFL quarterback who was very good in the XFL, played against Temple, who played against Penn State, signed with the Carolina Panthers with his old coach Matt Rhule today. I mean, these are all stories that they have to talk about. You know, Brian Hoyer signs with the Patriots. Obviously, the story with Tom Brady. You've got basketball players in the transfer portal. The Towns kid from Harvard, who's missed the last 2 years with knee injuries, has decided to transfer from Harvard to Ohio State. Trey Sermon, the running back, has transferred from Oklahoma to Ohio State. So there's still moments like that that are coming up in the sports world, you know, that are worthy of discussion, talking about, and are stories. So ESPN does have that to cover. And thus they can go in that direction, because there are certain areas between transfer portals and between the NFL and then the draft coming up. All right, now let's look at Tua Tagovailoa. All right, now let's take a long look at Justin Herbert. I mean, they're going to be able to break all this stuff down because of that. Even though there may not be live active sports right now, there are transactions taking place. And a lot of sports now today, anyway, on SportsCenter is about transactions and not so much about the games.
Yeah, although that live content does pack them in a lot more than talking heads. No. But that's the problem.
Everything's about live content when it comes to. That's why ESPN pays $1.4 billion a year for the NBA. Hey, right? They care. I mean, look, the playoffs happen to be, and especially the finals, make money for ESPN. The regular season is an absolute loser for them. But to get the playoffs and the finals, they go through the regular season, which provides Wednesday and Friday content and also provides Sunday content on ABC and ESPN. NBC Sportsnet, believe me, a crusher for them. is the NHL, right? Hey, Fox and ESPN went in all go on the XFL because it provided content.
Right.
People, I mean, live sports is where it is at, not just for sports television. Live sports is where it's at for television.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's why you see them, they say, okay, we're going to pay Tony Romo $17 million. Because guess what? The CBS, they think over the next 10 years, that's going to be a critical part of what they're going to do is carry the NFL.
Sure. And, you know, today, Steve, the other aspect of this with the lack of live sports, the NHL owners were having a meeting today, a conference call. It's projected the NHL could lose $500 million.
Well, because they let's take a look at the NHL versus the other sports. A major economic driver for the NHL happen to be fans.
Yeah.
Filled arenas. Filled arenas are a big economic driver in the NHL. Well, right now the arenas are completely empty, and even if they go back to play in, say they go back to play in 3-4 weeks by May 1st. Let's say May 1st. All right? And they may have to play in front of empty arenas for a couple weeks.
Sure.
All right? So that's a major economic driver. The major economic driver in the NFL is TV. A major economic driver now in the NBA is TV. All right? Local broadcasts are a major economic driver for baseball. The NHL, a major economic driver for them is actually people in seats selling out buildings.
It sure is.
All right, Ryan Snyder, football recruiting, next half hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
.com. The Purdy's have certainly served this valley so well for decades. I mean, first of all, they've been great stewards of the community giving back. But they're also great professionals when it comes to insurance. They're the ones to turn to. You want to make sure you're fully covered, you go to Purdy. You want to make sure you get the best price, you go to Purdy. I don't care if it's auto, home, life, business, bundles, whatever it may be. They are the insurance professionals, the best in the business. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Speaking of the best in the business, we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us today. It's a time of the year where, we could talk about recruiting any time of the year. Anytime. We could do that. And with that, we'll bring in Ryan Snyder from Blue White Illustrated and Rivals.com. I hope you and your family are doing well during all this. Ryan, welcome.
We're doing well. I'm bummed I'm not watching basketball right now, just like all of our listeners, I'm sure. But, it is what it is, man. Take care of your family. Stay safe. That's a little more important right now.
So how does this work? With everything that has been put into place, restrictions, some no restrictions, how does this work right now?
Well, it's just like a normal dead period. Right now, it's just like a normal dead period. So for Penn State, it's pretty simple. They can't have anyone on campus, and they can't go out and evaluate. The evaluation period wasn't set to start till April 15th.
Right.
We'll see how that works. So. But right now, of course, with spring practice was supposed to be starting up yesterday, they were planning to host prospects, pretty much for every practice, maybe a few they don't show up during the weekdays. But for all the weekends and a few weekdays, players were going to be on campus. I mean, I know yesterday we were expecting, I think I had like 6 or 7 confirmed already before everything got shut down a few weeks ago. So that's a blow, and it definitely hurts from the perspective that there was just a dead period in February, and that was new this year. And so for Penn State's perspective, they haven't had anybody on campus. Well, excuse me, they had one, Brock Bowers,
right,
out of California.
Right, he was on campus, and I know he stopped by at one point, and at the they had a job fair.
So, oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, and they do a great job taking them everywhere. When you come on a visit here, it's not just, you tour the football facility and football stuff. You go everywhere.
Yeah.
But But anyway, Brock was the only one who's been on campus since all the way back to February 1st. The dead period started February 2nd and ran the entire month. So, you know, for Penn State's perspective, you know, that hurts them a bit, especially because some other schools did host players on March 1st, which was a Sunday, and March 7th. And, of course, that was the start of spring break and you know, what followed, you know, over the next week, I don't think many people saw quite coming. But anyway, so they're still talking to guys on the phone a lot. Lots of FaceTiming. We're seeing that a lot right now.
Right.
James has been very active. You know, with football pretty much shut down. I mean, you know, the staff, I think they're allowed to be in Lash. I'm not exactly sure. But I believe most of them are all working from home right now. And, you know, I'm sure they're reviewing film and things like that. But, you know, recruiting, from what I understand, is 80-90% of their focus at the moment. So that's a good thing. But at the same time, with many of the players that they're in a good position with, especially some of the top-ranked guys, you know, getting them on campus, meeting with academic advisors, you know, things like that, stuff that's not really just chatting on the phone, building relationships, was what they really needed to do throughout March and April. And right now they're not able to do that. I mean, I guess if there's any good thing, I guess you could say, is that a lot of schools needed to do that this time of the year. So, you know, it's just kind of a wait-and-see pattern. I think a lot of recruits are, you know, they understand the situation. They're upset, I think, especially guys who, you know, are in 2021 and really wanted to bang this all out over the next couple months. But, you know, it is what it is. And you know, the best teams, the best coaches, and Penn State is certainly among them, they'll learn how to adapt and they'll find ways to, right, I guess, make a bad situation into a good one, if that's possible.
Right. No, and I understand that. You know, they are equipped to do this. So when it comes – and look, they're going after the targets, A, they want, but they're also going after, obviously, some of the targets they want are highly coveted by other schools. I mean, Penn State would not be Penn State unless they were going after highly coveted guys like everybody else is as well. So where are they on some of what you would perceive the highly coveted guys? And when you've talked to potential recruits, what have they been telling you about this time through?
Yeah. Yeah, I think a lot are just, like I kind of mentioned, they're just, I think everyone's looking for answers right now, and there's no answers to be had, if that makes sense. You know, one topic I've had a lot of guys mention to me is, you know, because the dead period's right now, do you think that July dead period will be axed this year, or maybe guys will, instead of visiting in May and June and then, you know, having the normal July period where coaches go on vacation and whatnot, you know, do you think that maybe they'll extend official visits in July? And, of course, I don't have an answer to that.
Right.
From talking around, it seems like the popular opinion towards that would be that they could not eliminate it completely, but maybe cut off a week or two in the front and the end, and maybe just make it like a 2-week dead period instead of a full month. We'll see what happens with that. I mean, like I said, no one really has answers to that. But, I mean, as far as top guys, players to watch, I think a lot of Penn State fans are very familiar with Landon Tangwall right now, who's an elite offensive lineman out of Good Counsel down in Maryland. You know, Landon was expected to go to Notre Dame this weekend, actually, then come back to Penn State and then visit Notre Dame one more time and then probably decide in before the blue-white game, somewhere in that range. I think the date we were talking about was April 14th, somewhere in there. You know, I think he's still, like so many others, is still thinking about all this. You know, does he wait and decide to take maybe one or two more visits to Penn State, Notre Dame, then decide? I know he's mentioned that. At the same time, I think that Penn State's also a pretty good favorite. So maybe, especially because I think Penn State's trying to get some momentum right now. Not that they're struggling or anything. There's a lot of schools that only have a couple commitments. But, you know, good news is momentum, and every school wants that. So I think that's something that, you know, he's aware of and you know, wants to probably see out. So we'll see. You know, there's a lot of guys. Zachy Wheatley, he's an athlete. I think he'll be a safety at Penn State. Another prospect out of Maryland. You know, he just put out the top eight the other day. You know, he's another player I've been picking to Penn State for a while. There's a lot of guys that we expected to come back here, visit throughout spring practice, maybe come back to the blue-white game, and then possibly one more visit then for the officials, which run from April to mid-June. you know, now so many of those guys are just trying to figure out when they'll be able to start visiting again and then possibly, you know, deciding. But, you know, every player is different. I think that's one thing I always try to stress to people, because everybody always wants like a broad answer or, you know, what's everyone thinking? And I could tell you, I could throw five kids' names out there and all of them think something different. You know, one of them's going to still decide, another one's going to wait all the way to the end of their season, and so on and so forth. So it's, I really believe that once we get to into April, maybe another week or two, guys will think about this more, talk to schools more, talk to their family more, and we'll start getting more answers. You know, right now it's just a lot of people who are just kind of more upset about the situation than anything else.
Speculative question here, you know, because, you know, we're all playing the guessing game here right now. Does this, if things settle down, okay, in a timely fashion, does this put more in the Lash Bash?
Absolutely. It could. I think there's so many things out there. I mean,
it's just a speculative question, that's all.
Yes, yes, it absolutely could. Absolutely. But it kind of goes along with that dead period, too. You know, do they shorten that up and allow more official visits? Because if, say, they take, you know, the dead period runs, it's the final week in June, and then the first, I believe, 3 to 4 weeks in July, and then the final week in July
that's
is open,
right,
which is
yes,
when the Lash Bash is.
Yes.
You know, if they shorten that up a little bit, and you still see, you know, a lot of play, you know, you get maybe, what, 3 weeks of official visits, then I think it'll be pretty similar to what we've always seen. And, you know, what we always see, really, is those 3 weeks we see official visits, and then as soon as the dead period starts, there's a rush of commitments. I think last year there were at least like a half dozen or so over that span. I might be wrong, maybe a bit more. But, you know, that's just, like I said, a lot of unknowns at the moment. But if it sticks to the normal schedule, right, and, you know, let's just go with what MLB and other teams are saying, which is they won't even really start things up till May 15th, which I could see other people, possibly the NCAA, following something similar, then, yes, that would absolutely put more into that, because, you know, we'll have about 2-3 weeks, and don't get me wrong, official visits will be able to, you know, take place then, but camps are going to start up then too.
Right.
And, of course, with camps, that takes a whole nother, you know, it's just something else the coaches have to put their attention towards. So I think we're going to see some sort of change with the NCAA schedule. It really just depends on how long this drags out to, though.
Sure.
But if it goes into May and, you know, even, you know, God forbid, the beginning of June, there has to be some sort of change to the summer schedule.
Right. Kansas, which, you know, let's face it, they're trying to close the gap in the rest of the Big 12, and to their credit, there's a huge gap to close. But Les Miles has decided to have a virtual junior day. Is this something that is a possibility in many places, and also a possibility even at a place like Penn State? Their virtual junior day is set for this Saturday, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they're actually doing something similar to it today. I think what they're kind of – so here's the thing with Kansas. What Kansas is doing is they're putting it all over their social media.
Exactly.
I have it up on my laptop right now. I was reading about it a little earlier. All of this is in the public for Kansas, which for a school like Kansas is a great idea. You know, I give them a lot of credit. They have nothing to lose from that situation, because at the end of the day, you know, they're going to go after top flight guys, and a lot of those top guys are going to end up elsewhere. That's just how it works. And, you know, there might be some player that they're not really going after all that hard right now, but he's going to be watching all this today, and he's going to get very interested. And then, you know, come October, they're going to circle back to that player, and it's going to help them. So for a school like Kansas, this makes sense. For a school like Penn State, I could see them doing something very similar to this, but in private. You know,
right.
Like we mentioned, Penn State's going after elite players, guys that have already been on campus.
No question.
Guys that are very familiar with all this. You know, they've taken the tours. They've met with academic staff. They've done most of that stuff. So for Penn State's perspective, you know, maybe doing something through FaceTime with individual prospects is something we could see.
Right.
Steve, I'm not sure if you know any of this stuff, but, like, can they – I was wondering this the other day. Can they meet with academic advisors over FaceTime and things like that? Do you know if that's – I never heard anything against it, but it usually just happens in person.
Yeah, that one I can't answer under the current
sure
climate, what they're allowed to do. I'm not sure about that.
I'd have to ask, and I will. And I plan on doing that.
Yeah, I'd have to ask James about that, what they could do.
Yeah, and we will ask around, but I've never heard of it not being legal. It's just something that normally happens in person.
Right, exactly.
So, like, I guess where we're going with this is that those are the kind of things that I could see Penn State doing if it is allowed. And again, I have to look it up. But, you know, we know Franklin's very active right now. There's a lot of FaceTiming, a lot of Skype. And they will, and for some of the guys who, you know, they're also in the mix with a handful of guys from Texas and Florida, and that's a trend that we've seen grow. And you know, this time of the year, or excuse me, not March, but more so, you know, May and June, that's a time where we really see those players come up here. So if this extends into that period and they can't do that, then these kind of things like we're seeing with Georgia today, you know, taking a 3D scan of your weight room and, mm-hmm. you know, doing the 3D scans that we kind of see for the whiteouts, you know, in Beaver Stadium, things right. like that, that is something I absolutely could see Penn State doing. But again, I see them doing that more so in private, right. you know, just because they're going after top-rate players and they want to make it personalized to that player.
Yeah, Kansas, their junior day, their virtual junior day includes, you know, the welcome to campus dining, player development, facility tour, strength and conditioning, nutrition, academics, non-Nike.
yeah.
okay. Then the coaching staff, then finally at 6 o'clock, the Coach Miles. And then there's something on Lawrence after that, which lasts 2 minutes. So it's – no, I'm just kidding. I mean, that's what they're going to do for their, quote, virtual junior day. What is the state, the depth of Pennsylvania this particular year, and what's the depth of the region? Well, let's just put that protractor down and, like, scan it out 500 miles. So state and then that 500-mile region.
Yeah. Well, in Pennsylvania, it's up and down. To me,
and
I'm talking
about guys that would sign in 21.
Yeah. Yeah. Right now, I think PA's I don't want to say it's totally down. Let me see. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 four-star players, which is, I guess that's about average. Okay. I guess to me, though, a few of those guys have already committed elsewhere. So for Penn State, I'm really focused on, you know, just a couple guys. And, right. you know, that, of course, that's Derek Davis,
Fair.
You know, the safety out of Pittsburgh, out of Gateway. Dorian Ford is another
yes.
defensive lineman. And then, of course, Nolan Rucci. And those are the three that I think Penn State all has a real chance with all three. You know, will they land all three? Probably not. But I could definitely see two of the three. Out of those three, I think Rucci's I don't want to say probable, just because, you know, there's still a lot that has to play out. But it's realistic. Dorian Ford, I think, is realistic. And Derek Davis, he's been here so much, but he's also been very quiet lately. And just when guys go quiet, it's tough to get a read on. So he's a guy I need to guess maybe learn more on. I mean, some people think Ohio State. Some people think Clemson. It's just tough to read. I mean, we can only do so much when they don't talk, I guess. So we'll see how that progresses. But, you know, in the region, it's pretty similar to normal. Although I will say New Jersey seems a little bit quieter, and that's, I don't want to say an issue, been a problem for Penn State, but it's definitely kind of dropped off a bit. But they've also have had so much success in Maryland and Virginia
yes.
that, you know, it's you pick your focus to some degree. I mean, New Jersey, if you compare it to 6-7 years ago, I think it's dropped off a little bit, but, you know, those northern, you know, Catholic schools in New Jersey are always going to have top guys. And, you know, George Rooks, Tywan Malone, two defensive linemen that Penn State's really going hard after. But I would still say that Maryland and Virginia are their, you know, primary focus. And Maryland's been as deep as it's been in a very long time over the last couple of years. And I think that's a trend we're going to continue to see. So, you know, Maryland, at the end of the year, I wouldn't be surprised at all if Maryland's the state that has the most commitments out of.
And then finally on this, you always have to look ahead. Obviously, they're trying to also make sure they have inroads and they have solid foundations for 22. You know, you can throw 23 in there as well. What mm-hmm. does that look like in terms of the same question, Pennsylvania versus the region? Because Penn State's a national program, but they want to take care of their state and their region, dominate the region.
Yeah, it's similar. I'm trying to think. I would lean. You know, Virginia seems pretty deep. You know, that seems like it would probably be a better state in 2022. But I guess where I come from right now is, I haven't personally put a lot of focus into that. And one thing with this whole situation that I would transition to real quick is that, you know, if camps get messed up this year, And in these spring visits, you know, because these 2022 guys can't take official visits.
That's
they can't,
right.
You know, the
right.
Schools can't pay for them to come up. What I wouldn't be surprised at all is if this whole situation right now actually impacts the 2022 class more than the 2021, just because everything's been so sped up in recent years, where, again, you know, all these top 2021 guys have been here, where, you know, the regional guys in 2022 have been here, but, you know, guys in, you know, outside Ohio or, you know, down southern Virginia, places like that, that, you know, a little bit more travel, it's just harder to get here in spring break normally, or in the summer is the best time for them to do that. So I am very curious to see the impact that has on those guys. But again, it's just so wait and see right now. It's so hard to say, you know, if we're done with this in April and May and,
right.
You know, it's summer as normal, I don't think it will. But if this does drag into the summer, it's tough to say. So, but right now, top of my head, Steve, I would say Virginia is the state to watch in 2022. But I got to focus on that a little bit more to give you a better answer.
Right. No, just thought I'd throw it out there for the future. Hey, as always, Ryan, absolute pleasure to you and that great family of yours. Be safe.
I appreciate it. Same to you guys. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Ryan Snyder, Blue White Illustrated, Rivals.com. Wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Well, Bob, thanks for being here today.
My pleasure, Steve. Glad to be with
you. I mean, it's not Hawaii.
It is.
It's not Hawaii.
It is definitely not Hawaii. The sleet on the ride down reminded me of I'm in central Pennsylvania.
Well, the other reminder you're in central PA is when you go by the back corner office. All right.
You betcha.
Very spacious back there, by the way. Have you noticed it?
It's ever expanding.
Oh, you mean the office. All right. Great. Oh, Matt, stop laughing.
He can't help himself. I'm watching him.
He's not even in today.
Yeah. Working from home.
Believe me, when it comes to, well, I'm not going to, I'm not going to go there. It's, no, I'm not going to go there. Nope. Not going to go there. All right. Kenny Albert coming up on the show tomorrow. Looking forward to that. Got a lot going on. Bob, thanks so much. Matt, thanks so much. And today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com, and we're in the Sunbury Motors studio.
For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855, or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.